Hello, ladies and gents, and welcome to Absolute Truth. Absolutely. This is your host, Giovanni, and I am here with my dad, who also happens to be the pastor of Living Word Church in Miami, Jesus Martinez.
Thank you, Gio. Thank you for having me on this program, and I think we've got some tremendous issues that need to be tackled, and we'll do our very best to at least do our share of the tackling on these issues.
Absolutely. This is a series of podcasts which we will be releasing on a weekly basis, and you can subscribe to it via iTunes for free. And like Pastor was just saying, we will be tackling truth, especially in a world full of uncertainty. That's why we've called this program Absolute Truth. Absolutely. We give you a no-holds-bar view, worldview from a biblical perspective, and we try to cut through the clutter so that we can arrive at absolute truth, because the Word of God tells us that His truth is truth, that the Bible is truth. And if we understand and we look at the world through the lens of Scripture, that we can never go wrong. Because if God is perfect, then He lets us know that through Scripture, then of course we're going to be standing on solid footing.
Well, Satan is the deceiver by excellence, if I could use that word. And as you go through your Bible, you find that deception, lies, and things that are camouflaged are the operating words for end times. Once we understand that deception is the key to what He does, then hopefully many hearts will be freed from that deception. And this is what we hope to accomplish through this program.
Absolutely. We also want to address your questions and any comments that you might have. So please forward those to us at info@lwim.org, info@lwim.org. We will be debuting a website soon, in which you will be able to get show recaps and other goodies there for your benefit. That'll be under atashow.org, if I'm not mistaken. Now, let's get right into this, Dad. One of the things that we wanted to speak to our listeners today was about the coming ecumenism. And a lot of people nowadays look to individuals such as Glenn Beck, the John Hagees of life, people who are very involved in the political arena. And that is because people, and this is something that you spoke about in your sermon on Sunday, that people think that through governmental agencies and through politicians, changes can be made. And they, you know, we accuse them of being nearsighted. Why? Because, like Jesus says, His kingdom is not of this world, but yet they only think in temporary terms. And many of these people aren't even Christians. Many are. But the reason that we want to tackle today is that there's an unholy venture going on between the church and between political entities, which we know will usher into Antichrist, which the Bible very clearly speaks of.
Well, the ecumenical concept is not a new thing by any stretch of the imagination. And what we see is this huge hypocrisy on the part of politicians, because you will notice that more and more laws are written that binds the hands of the Christians, of the ministers. But then voting time comes around and you see these politicians knocking on the doors of the mega churches and looking for the Christian vote. And so what we have in the ecumenical movement is the idea of getting all these religious people, and that's how really they think of us, together on their one voting block, And then once we get their votes, we go back to just cornering them, making life more difficult for them to do their ministry as the Bible calls us to carry out our ministries. And at the end, we're taking the knife to our own throats. So we need to be very careful, because some religious leaders, I'll call them religious leaders, have not picked up on this. Or if they have, they think they can overcome them. That is, the politicians that astutely play this game, by engaging us in more and more political issues and in the political arena overall. And what happens is we empower these people that after a while, all they do is turn on us. I don't know if you've noticed, but the last few presidents that we've had, they've all claimed to be Christians. Yeah. And then once they get into the White House, they do what they do, and that is they turn on us.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's funny that you mentioned the religious leaders, because I guess America's pastor is the leading proponent of all of this, Rick Warren. God knows how many individuals recently now, you know, every time Rick Warren goes on a new venture, he has to make this grand scheme of it. And now in his latest weight losing bid, he had all of these different doctors at his church. And one of them, Dr. Oz, Mehmet Oz, who is a Muslim, had him at his church and said, we have to come together. And then he also had other doctors promoting yoga and whatnot. And it's such a nasty and filthy mix, because when we read the scriptures, the Bible tells us that we are supposed to be a people separated unto Jesus, separated unto God, that we're supposed to be identifiable from the world. But yet it seems like continually there are individuals who are trying to make Christians, true Christians, a part of the world system. And Christians are deliberately giving into the scheme, either ignorantly or knowingly, saying, yes, we can establish change here on earth if we become part of some political action committee, or if we do the Kingdom Now situation. As we previously have noted, and you've taught on this also, Calvin, John Calvin and Augustine tried this, and it never worked. Even the Catholic tried it, and once and again, the Protestant movement got up and said, what are you guys doing? And it's never worked. This whole establishing the Kingdom of God on earth for the betterment of humanity, they say, has never, ever worked. But yet we're seeing it again, for example, with an individual such as Glenn Beck.
Yep.
The thing we want to talk to you guys specifically as a prime example of this is Glenn Beck and the whole white horse prophecy. Pops, let's get it into a little bit about what this white horse prophecy is and how it deals with our topic today. This is a statement that is purported to have been said by Joseph Smith in 1843, in which he said that the United States Constitution in the future would be hanging on a thread. And that's the line that seems to be purported and used by many Mormons, including Brigham Young, who was the successor after Joseph Smith was assassinated. And when the other thing that goes on is that the white horse, meaning the LDS Church, the Latter-day Saints Church, would have to come and save the United States, save the Constitution. Now, Glenn Beck uses this terminology very often, and people don't pick up on the fact that this is supposedly a part of Mormon doctrine. And he's used it before. I don't know if you want to read the quote in which he was interviewing Senator Orrin Hatch. That was on November 8th, 2008. And it says, he's speaking to Senator Orrin Hatch from Utah, who is also a Mormon. And he says, Senator, do you believe, I mean, when I heard Barack Obama talk about the Constitution, and I thought we are at a point, or we are very near the point where our Constitution is hanging by a thread.
And there he uses it.
Exactly. So a lot of people have said, no, Glenn Beck is doing this for the betterment of the United States so that we can return to our individual or beginning identity as the founding fathers had it. But when we read stuff like this, we see that there's a religious agenda driving him.
Yeah, and we're not going to judge his intentions. What we are looking at is the fulfillment of Bible prophecy, whether people have good intentions or evil intentions. You mentioned the fact that Rick Warren had this Muslim doctor with him, and they were promoting other ideas that have nothing to do with Christianity. John says in his second epistle, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. We just had Pastor John Hagee receive in his pulpit the ex-speaker of the house, Newt Gingrich. And he, talking about Gingrich, just turned to Catholicism a couple years ago. So what am I saying? We see this mix of religions, of philosophies, ideas, and doctrines coming together. And Christians are saying, yeah, that's okay, that's wonderful. And now you even hear Christian pastors saying that God is using Glenn Beck as an instrument of God. Well, if he is using him, the very least we should be saying is not as an oracle of God.
Yeah.
We need to make that distinction.
Absolutely.
And so what concerns me is the fact that we are getting more and more involved in the political arena, thinking that this is the process that God will use to rescue America.
Absolutely.
And the way I see the gospel is most definitely, certainly about reaching people, not about toppling nations or having one nation above the other. So I don't know if believers are aware of the fact that they are being driven into another field of service and not the one that we as Christians have been called to. We are here for the very fact that we need to preach the gospel to saved, to the unsaved, to the ungodly. And I think, Gio, I could be wrong. If that is accomplished, then the situation of the nations would take care of itself.
Absolutely.
But once we reverse the roles, once we misunderstand what our purpose is, then we're in for some serious issues.
Well, one of the things that I want to mention here is a lot of people, they seem to go to extremes on these things. They'll say, well, why are you attacking Glenn Beck? He's a conservative. He brings a lot of good information. And yes, we do admit he has brought a lot of good information to the forefront. And Absolutely. That is an indisputable fact. But the truth of the matter is that on this program, we're dealing with the unholy mixture of the gospel, twisting it, and then trying to implement politics into it. And like you said, Jesus himself said, my kingdom is not of this world. And people like Glenn Beck, for example, in his Restoring Honor in America 828 movement, he had people from all different creeds and faiths coming together and saying, we all serve the same person. We're all speaking to the same person. Here's a clip that I want to play, we want to play for you, in which he was recently speaking to the Israeli Knesset. Listen to what he says.
Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people are my people. Your God is my God. Where you die, I will die, and there shall I be buried.
Your God is my God. So let me ask you a question. You know about this more than I do. If we're all speaking to the same person, then why are there so many different interpretations of who God is? We have Allah, we have Zebulon, we have the grand architect of the universe, we have Elohim. Why does God take on so many different names?
Well, one of the very first things that we understand from Scripture is that God is not the author of confusion.
Amen.
So automatically that gets us on the right path. And by that I mean, you can only find God in one pure doctrine. And this is what all Christians should be striving for, instead of saying, look, it's our doctrines that are separating us, so let's bring that down and let's come together under another banner. Again, I quote the second epistle of John, where he says that true unity for the true Christian comes about as a result of doctrine, keeping doctrine, holding steadfast to doctrine, not discarding it.
That's right.
And again, it's the second epistle of John, and it's verse 10. It says, if there come any unto you, no matter how famous, how popular, how many things that person is bringing forth in the realm of politics that are good or true, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. When we look at the prophecy of hanging by a thread, because, you know, a lot of people say, that's just a common phrase. Not when it is constantly used by the Mormons, because it's something that supposedly Joseph Smith said, he pronounced, and he tied it in with the white horse of the book of Revelation. And so all of a sudden, once that has been established as something that is important to the Latter-day Saints, we need to take a look at it, because it could be driving Glenn Beck.
Absolutely.
And it could be another piece that is moving more and more Christians into the ecumenical movement, and that's dangerous just based on what the Bible says. We shouldn't be saying welcome or Godspeed to those that are teaching us behind a political camouflage error.
Absolutely. You know, I wanted to expound on this a little bit more before we end the program. When you look at Matthew chapter 24, Jesus is talking about the end times here. And one of the things that you notice in Matthew chapter 24, verse 23 and 24, he says, then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or there, do not believe it. For false Christ and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect, those that are Christians. Like we were mentioning beforehand, just a couple of minutes ago, we have noticed that there are Christians now that are aligning themselves to said political, religious movements without even questioning the reasons why. And you just mentioned something very important. We're seeing that there are certain religious motivations behind Glenn Beck's whole ideology, behind Glenn Beck's reasons for doing what he's doing. Of course, it goes without mentioning, but we should mention it, that he's also a very good businessman, because out of all of this that he's doing, he's also making a good penny out of it. So he's still making money, and there's nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, it's a good business venture for him. So that, you know, let that be said. But at the same time, we notice that there are tons and tons of Christians. I mean, you hear them calling into his show. Oh, Glenn, we're so sad that you left Fox News. You're an inspiration to me. I'm your biggest fan. And these are even coming out of the mouths of professing Christians, where Jesus says, be very careful who you follow, because these people will deceive you. My question to you is this. How do those Christians return back to that place where they say, you know what? Scripture has to be my authority, my first and last authority, and I cannot follow man because man can deceive me.
Well, I think they need to go back to loving God first, loving country second. When we flip that, when we love country first, then God just becomes a tool for us to do with our country as we please or as we think he would have us do. And so some people will listen to this broadcast and say, these two just don't love America. I do love America.
Yeah.
This is the country that gave me the opportunity, that gave me freedom. When my parents brought me here, I was 8 years old. And so this is the country I love. This is the country that I choose to live in. And I thank God for the opportunity. And I thank the American people for the opportunity. And anyone that knows me knows that I am a staunch defender of this nation.
Yeah.
But my love for country cannot supersede my love for God.
Amen.
And so once I have that in the right order, then I can do whatever is necessary and obligatory as a citizen, but never to the point where I take the things of God, my love for God, and say, here, you take a second place because what is really important now is country. I think when we flip the order, Gio, we have made a serious mistake, and instead of helping our nation, instead of helping our country, we help towards its deterioration because, honestly, once we get into the political arena at a level that we shouldn't be involved in, then the others just take us as another opponent.
Yeah.
And our respect and our quality as salt, our quality as light is diminished. And so to answer your question, I think the way we correct this is by placing God where he should be, first in our hearts, and then love of nation on a second
Therefore, you make the gospel, which is, that's the way it should be in every Christian's life while they are here in this pilgrimage, which is what the Bible calls it. The gospel should be the most important thing and the driving motivation behind their living, their existence, not changing the geopolitical situation or anything else that surrounds them, because we see that there are Christians around the world who are suffering persecution that in reality they have no rights, and their driving motivation is the gospel, and that's what they do. But it seems like here and in other places, of course, we you know, get into this holy unholy mix, and therefore it's like you said, it takes our eyes, it takes our focus off of the gospel presentation and into things of this world.
I think we should take our obligations as serious, as citizens, very seriously.
Yeah.
But let us not become engulfed in these mixtures, as you have properly called them, because at the end we will be hurt spiritually.
Yeah.
So let's take our positions and let's take our obligations as citizens very, very seriously. But let's tread carefully here. Let's not cross over and become engulfed in this ecumenical movement current that is obviously taking over this country, because at the end, instead of helping, we will be hurting the nation that we love.
Absolutely. Thank you for participating with us. Again, like I said before, this is just the first in a series of podcasts that we will be releasing on a weekly basis, in which we will attempt and give every single one of our listeners absolute truth in a world full of uncertainty. That's why we have titled this podcast Absolute Truth. Absolutely, we want to give you a biblical worldview, a biblical perspective of everything that is going on around us. And remember that Jesus said that he is the only way to the Father. He stated that I am the way, the truth, and the life. It was exclusive. It wasn't something where he just is one of the ways, but that he is the way. And if you don't know Jesus, we invite you to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior today. All you have to do, according to the biblical precepts, is to believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you will begin on this wonderful journey, which is to be a Christian. And again, subscribe to our podcast via iTunes. And also, if you have any questions or comments, please email us at info@lwim.org. info@lwim.org. That's all the time that we have left for this podcast. We hope that you join us again next week for fresh insights and a biblical perspective in a world full of uncertainty. God bless you.